Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Greetings, this is Hercules Invictus. Welcome to Voice of Olympus here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Athena may be joining us a little later, but for now I'm flying solo, and I'm about to speak to my good friend, Nick Curto. Greetings, Nick. How are you?
Never better, Hercules, and thank you so much for your kind invitation to be one of your featured speakers tonight. Really appreciate it. It's an honor.
Well, it's an honor speaking to you as well. You're very learned, and you're free with the sharing of your knowledge, and that is greatly appreciated.
Well, thank you very much. I think that we all owe each our brothers and sisters to share what we have that would be of value, don't you think?
I do think so, indeed. We're on the same page there. Now, tonight, we're going to investigate a controversial topic, and we're going to start with my learning more about it from you. This topic came to my attention when I was looking through the literature on the Elohim, and there seem to be several individuals on this planet at this time who are tuned into the same frequencies that I'm tuned into. So I've been following what they're doing, and one of the things one of them is doing is speaking out against chemtrails. So my ignorance is vast on this topic, but fortunately you are well informed. So tonight you're going to start introducing me to the topic and teaching me why this should be of great concern.
I would be most happy to do that. As you know, Disclosure Network New York, the group here in Manhattan, 15 years and counting, has done, I think, three different programs dealing with the important topics of chemtrails. And we will be doing another one in the beginning of the new year, 2017. And as you know, chemtrails are white lines in our skies that we see most every day, but they're being sprayed by planes and meant to hurt and kill all living things, including you, your family and friends, the animals and plants, and the entire environment. And it's not just here in Connecticut, New Jersey, New York. This is worldwide. Every state in America has chemtrails in their skies. Not every day, but a lot of days. And when I was a kid, I remember seeing the white lines from jets, little jets in the sky. But in a couple of minutes, those lines, those little white lines, disappeared because they were vapor trails. Right, remember that? And it was vapor trails.
Yes, I do.
But we all recall that the sky was blue with usually fluffy white clouds, and very seldom would we see anything in the way of a white line. That was very rare indeed. On our website, May I say the website? I just want to reference that.
Oh, of course, definitely. The purpose of the show is to inform and to open one's mind to possibilities. So by all means, share your website.
Okay, and perhaps later tonight or tomorrow they could take a look at this, because we have a number of photographs and a lot of evidence on the website that there's no doubt the chemtrails are very real and quite lethal. The website address is www.lookupnow.info, I-N-F-O at the end. And that will get you right into the website. We've been putting this together over the last 6 months with my dear friend Jane and my other friend Jim, who's been working on this. It's not finished, but a lot of it is up there and running, and your listeners can get a pretty good idea of what's going on with chemtrails. They're deliberately poisoning us with toxic chemicals in an aggressive program to weaken, to hurt, to manipulate, and to finally kill us. Now you think, who in the world would have that kind of money or evil thoughts? Well, the multi-trillion-dollar individuals, families that are behind us are part of the Illuminati plan to weaken us. And their plan has been going on in chemtrails, I believe, for at least 25 years. Believe it or not, that's a long time. I was surprised, but that was the very beginning of this total insanity. But that's how long it's been going on.
Watch
and,
slowly, though, Nick. That's the part that I'm having a difficult time reasoning through. Why not just kill us quickly, then, if it's their plan to obliterate us, rather than taking a quarter of a century and more time to do it slowly?
Well, that's a good question. I think part of this was an experiment to see how much they could do, how much damage they could do. And they've changed over the years what's in the chemtrails, because they know now what is working and what is not. That's part of the reason. And because they've been building on this for so long, a long time ago in Georgia, the state of Georgia, there was the Illuminati put up something called the Georgia Guidestones. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Oh,
they
wait a
are
second.
Literally...
No, I'm not. I as you mentioned it now, and it started percolating through my brain. Yes,
okay.
You have spoken about this before, as have several other guests. So why don't you refresh my memory and that of our listeners?
It's an important subject, because the Illuminati literally put up a multi-million-dollar granite tablets. They're gigantic, and they contain, in I think several languages, their plans for us. When I say us, I mean not just America, but for the world population, of what they think and want, and will do everything they can to make that come true. And the number one, this is the first one they've got on that that tablet, and you can go on the internet, and if you look for that that title, you'll see photographs of this. I was overwhelmed when I first saw it. And one of the first things, number one, it says maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Now, right now, the world population is roughly 7.5 billion people worldwide. So that's a huge amount of people that they want dead. They literally want us dead. It's a scary thought. It doesn't seem even – it sounds like a really bad science fiction. But believe me, they have a very serious intent to carry that out. And one of the ways they're doing it is with the chemtrails in the skies of the world. There's amazing research going into this now, trying to get behind it, trying to warn, as I'm doing tonight – Your listeners, and I do this in many ways, and other people do too, warning the population of how serious this is. They have every intent on carrying out this evil plot, and they are in the process of doing just that, unless we, the people of the world, stop them. And we're capable of doing that.
Indeed, I believe so as well. This plot that you're speaking about seems to be extremely large and well-funded and very well thought out. A lot of people believe that the chemtrails are just vapor trails. And they do point out to the fact that we grew up with these vapor trails, and now they're just using different type of fuels. I've also heard that there are flakes of metal, very small flakes of metal, that might be a little dangerous, but they're not harmful enough to kill us. I've heard very many different tales about the chemtrails. So if anything, I'm a bit more confused now than when I first started looking into this.
Right. Well, I can understand that. First of all, these people are good spin doctors. They know how to manipulate language and thoughts. So what they're doing is totally evil, and they're trying to say, no, no, it's simply vapor trails, nothing to worry about, which is the biggest lie of them all. And they do that so that people say, oh, okay, I guess that's all right, and move on. That's a lie. That's a big deal lie. There's a pilot. God bless him. I don't know his name. I don't know if he'll ever release that. But he was once one of the employed pilots of these chemtrail planes that would spew out toxic chemicals. And he was paid, he said, very, very well to fly these missions worldwide. He was warned not to say one word ever or else, and the or else was underlined. And he was part of one of the projects, and he told us the name of it on the internet. It's called Indigo Skyfold, I-N-D-I-G-O, and then S-K-Y-F-O-L-D. And if you go to YouTube and look up that name, it's going to have a huge amount of information about what was going on there. He had in his plane a 250-mile range of three states. They ordered him to spray specific sections at specific times, day as well as night. This is incredibly scary. Now, interesting to note that the Air Force, the Navy, and the Coast Guard know about this and unfortunately are part of it. This astounds me. It really does. Pilots are for not to have any children or a wife because they want them to be very isolated. They will move around every few years because they don't want to make personal connections with any community they're living in, so they won't have loose lips and say something about what they're really doing. He also defined the pilots as hardened to humanity, could care less about people who have been labeled by their employees as inferior and expendable. And so you can imagine how this thought process is, well, it's okay to spray, and they know they're toxic. They certainly know that. They have island bases all over the world, as well as on land, that will have these planes there to load up with the toxic chemicals of various kinds and assigned of when to go into the air and spray them. Now, this is interesting, Hercules. These planes have been shot down by three countries, shot down, and that's Russia, China, and Korea. They won't accept any of these planes in their skies, and they will shoot them down and have done that. Now, America has never shot down a chemtrail plane. Another interesting fact, which blows me away, is that the weather stations around America, Canada, and so forth, see these chemtrails on their scopes. And it's been asked by a lot of people, why aren't they reporting that? And they say that they're reporting it only as a dust or clouds, and they're not allowed to report them as what they know they are, which is chemtrails.
Now,
which blows your mind.
Wouldn't the chemicals being dropped get into our water supplies and into the soil and into the plants so that it would extend the life of this deadly danger beyond who happens to be outside breathing it at any given point, I would think?
That is an excellent point, and the answer, unfortunately, is yes. Not only is it to sicken over a period of time, it is also to cause droughts, which means that crops will fail That's another way to control the food supply, and that's a way to control what goes into the food supply that can also hurt and kill, which is going on now. Also, believe this or not, and I've learned this recently, they also have chemicals that have viruses that can control your thinking. And one example that they used as a trial test is over a country that was fairly warlike, and they were dropping a virus that could affect the brains of those people to not make them as warlike. In other words, they're trying to control the thought processes of targeted populations. That is blowing me away, and I just recently found that out. But also, as far as plants go, Monsanto and others, big plant and seed distributors, are putting into their seeds something that will resist aluminum, because aluminum is one of the chemicals that is being sprayed, the toxic chemicals in the air. Obviously, it's going to kill the plants and the seeds, but not the ones that have been engineered to resist aluminum. This is insanity beyond. I couldn't even make this
up. Sounds like it. It sounds like science fiction, like you had said earlier.
And I found out that the project name, and this again is for viruses, particularly created to alter the brain patterns of certain subjects. And it's called, believe this or not, the working name is called FUN, F-U-N, Vox, V-A-X, FUNVox. And
FUNVox,
that is the name. That is the name of the project that this is all about, with brain engineering coming from the skies. And if you look up that up, you will see that that does exist. There's
now,
a person. I'm sorry.
In
go
the
ahead.
Ancient astronaut literature, there are tales of humanity starting out as a slave race to superior beings who used us as labor and for sexual pleasure and many other uses, where we're not considered equals. What do you
That's
think
right.
the intentions of those who are trying to control us now are? Because if they're trying to control our thinking, if they're trying to dumb us down, if they're trying to make us sicker, obviously they don't want us strong, they don't want us resisting. So toward what end are these Illuminati you're speaking of doing this?
I would say power and control. All the power in the world with a reduced population to totally control that little population and simply have that population to do their bidding, to build their houses, to grow their food, and to just simply be slaves, like a slave race worldwide, to these evil, evil people. And they're insane. They're insane, but they have trillions of dollars to carry this out. It's insane, absolutely insane. But this is a project that they've been working on a long time. Certainly you've heard New World Order and Illuminati. Well, that's what's in
yes.
back of this. It's a power grab. It's to totally control and enslave. That's their agenda.
In the myths of old, though, that backfired because humanity did revolt. And it did affect these beings to the extent that they went into hiding or left the planet, depending on which myths you're reading and how you're interpreting them. So, of course, I do not want to see humanity fall into such an estate again. But how do we fight this? How do we resist it? Other than becoming aware, making other people aware, how do we stand up for our humanity?
Okay. First of all, we have to be informed, and that's why myself, as well as others, are writing books, videos. InfoWars has done an incredible film about this. You can get that. Once you're informed and you realize that this is a quite real threat, I would say number one would be nuclear war as on a list of huge concerns for all of us. But number two would be chemtrails and what's going on. That is number two. That's how dangerous and that's how important this subject is. So once you're informed and you tell others, you tell your family and friends, you give them the websites, you say you've got to understand what's going on, and then together you do everything you can in the way of your local and national governments, perhaps you're a writer and would put things on the internet to inform more people, maybe in your local newspapers, anything you can do. You can tweet. There's so many things the internet can now do for us. Use it to inform, because to inform and then to take action, to be in marches, to be visible and say, we are really upset and we want none of this chemtrails nonsense. We want it out of our skies. We deserve and demand that. We demand that that happens. And you have every right to do that and should, because you're protecting yourself, your family and friends, and the generations to come, because this is not going to stop on its own. Unfortunately, it's really not. We have got to be ready to do everything we can to stop the insanity of chemtrails. The weather stations also would be a target to say, why aren't you reporting this? Why are the weathermen, they'll report a fog and they'll report clouds and rain, but the chemtrails, which they all can see in their weather scopes, they're not saying a word about that because they're told not to. So that's another target, is your local weathermen and weather stations on the radio as well as on television.
How would you?
One other example I want to give you is salt water.
What can we do about cleaning this and getting rid of? If this has been going on for 25 years, I'm sure there's a lot of this accumulated in our soil, in our water supply, in the very fabric of the beings who live here. How would you purify yourself of this? How would you get rid of it out of your system and your environment?
There's a couple of things. On a personal level, there's things that you can do to take the chemtrail effects away from your own body. We have in the website a couple of ways at the moment to do that, and they're all things that you can do individually to do that. I know people who are suffering very much from respiratory illnesses, from eye problems, and from all kinds of other diseases directly attributed to chemtrails. They have to go to doctors and get special treatment. That's what's going on. I know several people that's what's going on. But you can do certain things to help the situation. Also, time. We have time to dissipate all the crap that's going on us. And eventually, Mother Nature has a wonderful way of coming back and being alive again, because this is hitting the insects, the animals, and the plants and trees. Everything. They've even sprayed salt water in the atmosphere over crops, so the crops would fail because of the salt in the soil. That's how bad this is.
That's pretty bad. We also destroy a lot of crops for economic reasons. I remember first learning of this when I was in Europe, and I saw mountains of rotting crops where people were starving. And then I found out that it's a common practice here in the United States as well. So further diminishing our food supply by spraying salt in the air, it's unconscionable.
Oh, boy, is it ever. And, there's been wise people who said, you control the food supply, you control the population.
Of course.
That is, of course, true. What you're saying is so awful. And when you see it yourself, you realize how evil that is. People are starving, and yet they're plowing crops under for economic reasons. One city, I just got to salute, it's Nevada City. And they're declaring that chemtrails must be in what they're calling their free zone of flight, which means they won't let any planes spewing these toxic chemicals anywhere near the city of Nevada. And they're going to this is a good example of what citizens can do. They've gone to their government, their city government, and they've demanded change. And they have I believe his name is Derek Packard, and he said that it's clear that the global elite are trying to control everything. We need to demonstrate to the world that the buck stops here in Nevada City. And they're taking action right now to stop this insanity, at least over their own area. Now, they're right to do that. We've got to be as smart as they are. Good for them.
And this was on your website. Can you give us the information about your website again?
Yes. It would be very important to go there when they have a moment and with a pen and a piece of paper so they can write down some of the major points, and then they can just inform their, you know, their friends, relatives, and people that work, wherever the church organizations, they should take the time to say, we are in some serious trouble. Now, the website, again, is www.lookupnow.info, and that's all one word, not spaces between it. Lookupnow.info, and that will get
them
right to the website.
Easy to remember.
And they can also call me if they'd like. I'd be happy to answer any questions. My telephone is 917-701-9033. Please just make it before 10 p.m. I'd appreciate that. But otherwise, I'd be happy to. They also can get my email from the website. It's right on there.
So thank you for bringing up this important topic and also making yourself available and spreading this information. You've certainly given me something to look into in the days ahead. I'm involved in a few environmental efforts here locally in Tenafly, New Jersey. So this is certainly something worth looking into and taking action upon. I will visit www.lookupnow.info, and I will also look up Indigo Skyfold and Funvax. And I guess that's enough to get me started. Plus, we're friends. I can give you a call or send you an email, and you can guide my quest for understanding from there. Before we go,
if I could.
Sure.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Just one
before
thing
we go,
that,
I was going to say, let people know about the other wonderful things you're doing, the Disclosure Network New York, and also the Urantia Book Society of New York.
Right, and that's important, that if they want to meet some of the people working on this chemtrail website and perhaps contribute or talk to them, they can come to our meetings, and that all of that information is on www.dnny.info. That's short for Disclosure Network New York, but they could just put dnny.info and they'll get right into the website. And we have two meetings a month, and at 2 o'clock on the first and third Sunday of each month, we've got dynamite speakers, and I think they'd find it quite interesting.
I know I found it quite interesting. I was a speaker twice, and I attended meetings once, so I can vouch for the fact that these are really awesome things.
Thank you so much again for the time and for your friendship. It's very valuable.
Same to you, Nick. I wish you well, joyous journeys, and I hope that next time we speak of this, and that will be soon, that you have positive news to report about what's going on to minimize the dangers of this dilemma.
Let us hope. Let us work together, my brother.
Indeed. Joyous journeys, my friend.
You too. The very best. Much love to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Nick Curto, a good friend and an awesome resource. And it's time for a break. Today we're going to listen to Odyssey by Becca Kelso. I know it's not about Odysseus or any of the things contained in the epic, but it's an Odyssey, and that's what we're all currently on. We'll be back.
Just in my head, imagine it's right there in plain sight. There's no way I could have known it would come as the truck and carry on. Till faded, foggy days, the half left on it. Case I had to fight.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Greetings, welcome, and we're back. This is Hercules Invictus, and this is the Voice of Olympus on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We have an awesome second half of the show, and this is an extended show. It is part of our Temenos series. Now, Temenos means sacred space, and all of us try to make our space as conforming to our spiritual principles as we can without imposing on anybody else, and we are no exception. And as we're attuned to Mount Olympus, our sacred space is, of course, very Olympian. What we're doing here tonight, and we'll be doing it frequently from this point on, is starting a dialogue with people who share Olympian spirituality and people who don't. And it's an attempt to look past what our personal views and perspectives are on spirituality and to see what our commonalities are and how we can work together to make this world a better place and try to define exactly what that means. So tonight we're going to be meeting the panelists, and the panel is forever growing, so we'll be bringing in new panelists as we go along, and we are going to start right now. Greetings and welcome.
Yeah, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. This is Reverend Terry Power. How's it going?
It's going phenomenally well, and I am honored that you were the first person that we picked, because you are the founder of the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, which is an awesome interfaith effort that I'm very proud to be a part of. And you do a lot of interfaith work in the community as well. So what traditions do you represent as a reverend?
Well, I want to go back to what you were saying about Spiritual Unity Radio Network.
Okay.
It is in and of itself an interfaith dialogue in that we have people of multiple spiritual paths, multiple expressions of faith. In fact, our catchphrase is, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. And
indeed,
with the word all in there, I have to, you know, personally acknowledge that that means, if I use the word all, in total honesty, I have to say that that includes not just Hercules and Zeus, Apollo, Breed, the Dagda, Loon, Set, you know, whatever, Thor, but also has to include Jesus, Jehovah, Yahweh, Allah, Buddha, and all of the, you know, gods and goddesses of the Hindu, and every manifestation of the divine. And when we approach the universe from an idea that all manifestations are equally divine, then we start looking at similarities and building on those. So
indeed,
right there, this entire station is built on the idea of interfaith. Now, for myself, I am at present, about a year ago, I was made joint head with my wife, Robin, of the Mystic Trad at Owl Mountain. And that's a path that was started by a lady named Jackie Sutton. A lot of people know her as PA Night Owl. And she's been involved in, neo-paganism since the 70s and was a mentor of Robin's. I came up in a different tradition. 15 years ago, I was recognized high priest, and I have continued, registered my own church in Pennsylvania, so all of our ministry functions under the legal umbrella of Celtic Cross Temple. But we are, we even have our own personal ministry, which is Little Stone Bridge Pathworkers. And the easiest way to get... Well, it is. I mean, it came from the idea we were actually working on names and trying to figure this out. And we were sitting at lunch, having lunch at Panera Bread in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And we were talking about all of this stuff, and we were talking about building bridges. And I said, yeah, we need to tear down walls and use those stones to build bridges. Oh, no, there it is, Little Stone Bridge. And that has become the imagery that we send into the universe, is we are building bridges between people's, we use the imagery of crossing a bridge and dumping all of our burdens before we enter the realms of the divine. In all of our rituals, it has become this multi-layered symbol of unity and peace and unburdening and entering the realm of the divine, open and free to express and experience the divine in whatever way is appropriate to us as individuals.
And that, when you and Robin presented that those thoughts to me, of course, I had to be on board. And I'm very glad that we came together and we're able to work together on this. We've been doing Voice of Olympus now for over 6 months. And
seems like yesterday.
Yeah, it does. It took a while to get off the ground, too. Like, we had a lot of things coming up before we started, but now it's getting on a roll. And what do you call it? I want to thank you. We're going to come back to you after
you.
We go down the line of everybody. But thank you so very much for providing this gathering place where we can do what we're doing tonight, which is something we're doing a lot more of as the days progress towards season 3.
Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here. I'm honored that you and Athena have become a part of our family, and thankful that you're here.
Before we pause for now, how can folks get in touch with you and Robin?
Oh, that one's easy. littlestonebridge@gmail.com.
That is easy. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll talk to you in a little while, Terry. Bye-bye. Greetings, Michael. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. How are you, Hercules?
Okay, is Diane with you tonight?
She's right here in the room with me. She'll
greetings,
say hi.
Diane, how are you?
Good evening, Hercules.
So great
good
to
evening.
Hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you. Here's
my
Michael.
Wonderful wife. Oh, okay. My wonderful wife and Terry's wonderful wife couldn't join us tonight, but I'm glad that your wonderful wife is with you.
Oh.
So how are things in California?
So how are you doing tonight, Hercules? It sounds like you've got a really wonderful lineup here, and you're building bridges.
Yes, as Terry is, and we all are. I'm glad you made it today because you had invited us to participate in an interfaith prayer, and you invited many people who saw the universe differently from you, perhaps, to come together to lend their spiritual energies toward improving life for everyone, and I thought that was very awesome. And toward the end of our introductions, we're going to bring you back on so that you can leave this prayer and we can all participate.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about the Urantia book, Los Angeles, and the Sixth Revelation?
Yes, I'm currently the president of what is known as UBLA, which is Urantia Book, Los Angeles Society, and we're under the national organization of the Urantia Book Fellowship, and a society is a regional organization that supports study groups in a particular area to study the Urantia Book. Urantia Book was published in 1955. There are 196 papers, about 2,097 pages in the Urantia Book, and what I do is, you know, I'm the president of our society for Orange County, California, and for Los Angeles County, California, and my lovely wife, which whom you heard, give her
yes.
greeting. She's our hospitality chairperson for the Urantia Book Los Angeles Society.
And I can see that because she's always very hospitable whenever we interact with each other. So you were well chosen, Diane.
Thanks. And I just wanted to mention that in the last year or so, there's been a real effort toward reaching out to the interfaith community for our Urantia Book community. As a matter of fact, the fellowship is going to be sponsoring an international conference in 2017 in July at the University of Denver. And they're doing something that they've really never done before at this conference. They're going to be having some interfaith exchanges and some interfaith activities with communities such as Mormon, Sikh, Unitarian, Christian, and it's something that I really, really look forward to, and I'm so glad that the Urantia Book community is beginning to build bridges with a larger community, and I'm so happy about that.
Me too. That is incredibly awesome. The Urantia Book has a very unique perspective on what our experience here is all about, and we've started exploring it. We will continue that exploration. It can be described by some people as polytheistic, as there are many different gods and levels of gods, and for other people, it's a new way of seeing the biblical account. How would you define the Urantia Book?
Well, I would say there are so many levels to the Urantia Book. There are four parts. There's an exposition of the central and super universes, so it goes kind of in a top-down revelation. Central and super universes is part one. Part two deals with the local universe, which is a little smaller universe that's closer to us, I guess, in proximity, spiritual proximity. Part three is the history of Urantia, Urantia being the name that they give to this earth, as opposed to Gaia. And it talks about the history of our planet and, you know, anthropogenesis and such. And then part four, the life and teachings of Jesus. It's kind of a retelling of the life and teachings of Jesus in part four. There is a real effort in the Urantia book to harmonize philosophy, science, and religion for the benefit of mankind. Instead of instead of having each compartment separate, finding some common ground and synthesize all of those different practices to give us a more full experience. And at the same time, the Urantia book is wonderful in that I feel it presents it gives a really good presentation to the Western mind, to the Occident, of the structure of the cosmos and how the gods work in the cosmos and how mortals work with the gods in the cosmos, and at the same time talks about how merciful and loving God is toward us and gives us a lot of comfort with that viewpoint also.
That is incredibly awesome. I'm fortunate in that I'm friends with Nick Curto, who in addition to running the Disclosure Network in New York, also runs the Urantia Book Society. So I'm learning a lot from him.
Uh-huh. Oh, and if I may, Hercules, we're talking about interfaith today, and the Urantia Book in paper 103, there's a beautiful couple passages, but very short. I just wanted to read if we have time.
Sure, you can read it and let people know how to get in contact with you, then we'll move on to the next panelist.
Okay, it's very, very short. It's from paper 103, from the it's called The Reality of Religious Experience. It says, since no two mortal beings are alike, it inevitably follows that no two human beings can similarly interpret the leadings and urges of the spirit of divinity which lives within their minds. And then it moves on to say, while your religion is a matter of personal experience, it is most important that you should be exposed to the knowledge of a vast number of other religious experiences, the diverse interpretations of other and diverse mortals, to the end that you may prevent your religious life from becoming egocentric, circumscribed, selfish, and unsocial. To me, that's a beautiful message for interfaith. Now, as far as our contact information, if anyone is interested in finding out more about this international conference in Denver, the website for the national organization of the fellowship is www.urantiabook.org. That's urantiabook.org. And I have a personal email if you're interested in learning more about our sixth revelation words. Yeah, it's truthabsolute1122@yahoo.com. That's truth, T-R-U-T-H, absolute, A-B-S-O-L-U-T-E, the number 1122, 1122, at yahoo.com.
Thank you, Michael and Diane. I'm going to put you in the quiet room for a while, but we'll be returning to you so that you could lead this interfaith prayer.
Thank you so much.
Chris Aldridge, greetings.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, you are the high priest of the Temple of the Greek Gods.
Yes, I am the founder and the head priest of Temple of the Greek Gods of Elizabeth, Illinois.
Can you please tell us a little bit about the temple?
Well, the temple is a place for everyone who worships the Greek gods, no matter how they may do it or how they may believe. I myself am a Hellenic Reconstructionist, but we have people in our temple from all different kinds of Hellenic spiritualities and Hellenic religions. Some may be traditionalists, some may be neo-pagans, some may simply be Hellenic polytheists, who believe in the Greek gods as their deities and look at the world through an ancient Greek view, but they may do things in their own way religiously. So we have a vast range of people who worship the Greek gods.
And I admire that approach greatly. You also have had interfaith experience in your local community, and you are very much into being part of interfaith efforts well beyond the circle of your community. Would you like to share your interfaith background?
Sure. I mean, I have a great range of friends who are all different kinds of religions. I have Christian friends. I have friends who are Jewish. I have friends who are Wiccans, friends who are just generally neo-pagans. There was one time when I had the privilege of attending an interfaith gathering at Circle Sanctuary in Wisconsin, and that was a very delightful thing to do. And once again, we had people of all religions, Christians to pagans and, you know, what have you. And so I think I have a lot of experience in, you know, knowing people outside of my own worldview and understanding how they see things.
Very awesome. And you're also an author. You've written prayer books and a heroic path book on Theseus. And I believe you just published a new book recently.
Yes, that's correct. My first book that I put out was in 2015. It was called New Prayers of Old Hellas. And it was over 100 new prayers that I had written to Greek gods, spirits, and heroes. I think there were some spirits in there. My second book was called Theseus, His Life, Mysteries, and Virtues, because Theseus is a hero that I am quite close to, that I feel quite close to in my spirituality. And so I wrote a book about his life from a Hellenic religious perspective because, you know, all the books that you read in our time on Hellenic history, Hellenic heroes, and things like that, they're always written from an outsider's perspective. And it's not to say that they're disingenuous. What I mean is that they are simply not Hellenists, and so I thought that if a Hellenist would actually write an ancient Greek book for once, that the readers could understand Hellenism from someone who's actually in it, instead of someone who stands on the outside and points and tries to, you know, decipher what's going on. I thought it would help them understand Hellenism a lot better. And then my most recent book is called Light of Olympus, Ancient Greek Rites and Prayers for Everyday Life. And in this, I have written 150 new prayers, different ones than the last prayer book, but I've written 150 new prayers along with daily rites that Hellenists can practice.
That is awesome. And how can folks learn more about the Temple of the Greek Gods?
They can learn more by going to thetempleofthegreekgods.org, and there's a whole bunch of information there about us, information on how to join, attend our educational classes, and a lot of stuff about our temple.
Thank you, Chris. I'm greatly honored that you're here and that you're part of this dialogue. I'm going to put you in the quiet room.
Okay.
And we'll talk later.
Very well. Thank you.
Greetings, Frontos Proximo. How are you?
Greetings, everyone. Greetings, Hercules, my friend. It's good to hear from you again. And thank you for asking me to participate in tonight's conversation.
Well, how can I not? Our dialogue has been ongoing for well over a decade. And although we each have our own heroic path, there are many things, many views that we share in common. And what is happening tonight is something we talked about for quite some time. So I'm glad it's finally happening, and I'm glad that you're here and very much a part of it.
I'm delighted to be a part of it.
So introduce yourself and the traditions that you represent.
So I am a Hellenic polytheist. I am the head, for lack of a better word, of the Order of Ares. The Order of Ares is an organization of martial artists, military personnel, and veterans. We also welcome first responders to join us. That our main secular purpose is to provide physical security for religious events, and many of our members have quite accomplished security resumes in addition to sharing our polytheistic faith. Given the current events and the unfortunate consequences of the recent American election, we have been undergoing more discussions to take a more active role in social activism.
a lot of people are having that discussion, and there's an enormous amount of fear and concern going about. So somebody points out that both sides were very afraid one of the other, and this is a very interesting time we're going through, and I'm glad that you guys are getting even more socially active. I must say that the Order of Aries was at our Mythic Atlantis event, and they provided martial arts demonstrations and security throughout the event, and it was great to have them all here. And they're not kidding when they say that they're martial artists. They are accomplished martial artists with advanced degrees. So watching them in action was phenomenally awesome.
It was a wonderful opportunity to come and participate and demonstrate. We are, as individuals, to be a member of the Order, there are physical trials under which each participant must complete. There are intellectual trials they must complete. And at any time, any other member of the Order can challenge another member to redo those physical trials. So the one of the goals of the organization and how we honor the gods is with our physical training and challenging each other to maintain our physiques so that we can help people who are in need. One of the programs that we've recently started or sort of adopted, are you familiar with this the safety pin symbolism?
No, I'm not.
So this is relatively recent. It came about immediately following the election. One of the most famous celebrities that is participating is Sir Patrick Stewart. And the idea is that there were folks that were discussing what sort of emblem should people wear so that people of color, people of anybody disenfranchised, can you can advertise to them, I'm a safe person. If you feel threatened, come to me, and I'll help you feel safe. And the suggestion was raised to use a safety pin. The symbol is very simple. It's a safety pin. I represent safety. The members of the Order of Aries have been encouraged to wear safety pins in public. And it's not complete. It's not common knowledge yet, but the meme is sort of catching on. And what it says is that I am a safe person. If you feel threatened, come to me. And not from the aspect necessarily of a martial artist who will beat up someone that's bothering you, but we will be there to be another person. You aren't alone. If you feel threatened, come to us, and we will do what we can to make you safe.
That is awesome.
And it's a very simple gesture, and it's in terms of interfaith outreach. There are a lot of people of color, obvious, visible minorities, who feel threatened now, and that includes Hindu and Muslim and African Americans and any other visible minority that you can imagine, that are very frightened by the outcome of the election and worried about the future. Fortunately, because it's the United States, because I have faith in my fellow citizens, regardless of whoever won the election, that this period of anxiety will be short-lived. We want to do what we can to make it as short-lived as possible.
How can folks contact the Order of Aries?
The simplest way is to email me directly. We're a very personal organization, so it's email. It's not necessarily, here's our website and our banner. We don't advertise heavily. Many people who express an interest in the Order of Aries aren't very interested in actually doing it, the physical exercise that we require. So the best way is to reach me, BrontoSproxo@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook.
Thank you very much, Bronto. I will put you in the quiet room, and we will be speaking again shortly.
Thank you, sir.
Greetings, Lionheart. Thomas Punton, how are you, my friend?
Great to marry me, Hercules. I'm doing very well. I hope you're doing good.
Yes, I am. And other than being the first member of the new Order of Athena, what other traditions do you represent?
Well, I'm a member of the Spiral Tree tradition, which is a Wiccan tradition birth that started in North Dakota, but now has also places in Kansas and Washington. We're basically of our roots are Alexandrian, but we primarily worship British traditional style. And we also draw inspiration from the fairy tradition and experience the unique talents of our coven mates. And for myself, I'm mostly like of the Celtic, although I've also studied also in the Grecian as well.
And you've always been very interfaith, and I remember your podcasts of old. You were the first person to interview me, actually, in this current round of activity, which has been going on for well over a decade now. And you've always been open to other people's views of the universe and other people's perspectives of the universe, and you helped spread those views greatly through your podcasts.
Yes, the Great North Pagan podcast was started in 2011. And yes, I've been doing numerous episodes on different types of subjects of Wiccan paganism. I'm actually planning on this Sunday I'll be doing another episode with the coven about it will be the first part of the history of tarot. It's something that I'm, one of my talents, I'm also skilled in of the different forms of divination, actually, that I do study with. And I'm first degree with the Order of the Roar, which is part of the Spiral Tree tradition. I'm working towards my second degree.
Awesome.
I'm also a founder and also one of the higher-ups of the Lake Agassiz Pagan Community. It started on meetup.com. It's basically a meetup group that's in the Fargo-Moorhead community that we do either rituals or events or classes that we do teach about paganism as well. About 11 years old, actually.
That is awesome. So you're out there and you're interfaith and you're doing everything you can to promote the spiritual community as a whole.
That's correct. I mean, the way I've seen it is the best way is through education, is when you get the word out there and you help others understand the faith of Wicca and paganism, it helps understand and break the stereotypes and the myths that have been known about it. And that's one of the reasons why I've been helped keeping the podcast going so much, because it's the best way, the best weapon I've always felt, just like Athena could agree to, is wisdom. It's the best weapon tool out there.
Indeed. And how can folks get in contact with you?
If you want to contact me personally, it's tomwaterwitch@live.com. If you have any ideas or any recommendations for the topics for the podcast, you can contact at greatnorthpagan@live.com, or you can find it on YouTube at Great North Pagan. If you want to know any bit about the Spiral Tree tradition, you can go to spiraltreetradition.com, and it has all the information about our high priestesses and how to contact. And if you go to meetup.com, if you look up Lake Agassiz Pagan Community, you can find about the pagan meetup there. If you're in the Fargo-Moorhead area, you can come to one of our events there.
Awesome. Thank you so very much, Lionheart, and I will put you in the quiet room as we go down
so much,
the next panelist. Okay. Greetings, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing well, Hercules. How are you?
Okay, it's great to be talking to you. It seems like the other day that I was down there by the Amber Dragon giving a class.
Actually, I think it was the other day.
Yes, actually, you're right. You're also somebody who has a metaphysical center, so you're out there and you're opening minds, and you also have a very interesting spiritual background. Would you care to share it?
So I'm a practicing Wiccan. I refer to myself as a witch. I was introduced to the Celtic tradition, and I was initiated into the Celtic tradition. But as I have kind of evolved my own personal practice, I really found that a lot of the aspects of Buddhism really spoke to me, and so I've incorporated a lot of the Eastern philosophies and Buddhism in my work as a witch. So my circles are quite eclectic, and we do open circles for all of the holidays and all of the full moons. In fact, we had an amazing circle tonight for the full supermoon, and we created healing waters, and we just had just a great group of people tonight. I'm still supercharged, actually, from the circle.
The energies in the Amber Dragon are awesome. I know when I'm holding my workshops, it's in a giant room with all sorts of crystals lined up, and the energy in there is unbelievable. So the classes are kind of turbocharged.
Well, thank you. We work really hard to kind of keep it really pure up there, and just a lot of light, a lot of love, and just bringing good people together of faith and spirit, and, you know, just everyone has the kind of a like mind when we're upstairs, and I just really like that.
And you're very interfaith in your approach. There's a lot of different spiritual views represented just in your bookshelf alone.
Mm. Well, I think the goal is really to open the mind and open the heart, and possibilities are going to evolve from there. And when we start kind of, you know, putting a line in the sand or structuring it in some way, you know, based on, you know, very firm dogma, I think that kind of tends to put people at bay a little bit. And so I try very hard to be a very open center. I mean, we're certainly, you know, we're sitting in this tiny little town, and there are about 5 different churches all within a block of the Dragon. So it's been a very interesting evolution here, and to find so many like-minded people and so much great support from the community has been just very refreshing, and I just like everybody to feel at home. We have a very large sofa that we just put in downstairs in the shop, and, you know, I just find that people congregate there, and, you know, and when people are sitting together and they're just having these conversations, the energy just flows. It's just a beautiful thing to see.
And that is a comfy couch. I could vouch for that. Now, Linda, how can folks get in touch with you, and how can they drop by the Amber Dragon?
So right now the Amber Dragon is only open on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. We open at 11, and we close at various times from 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock on Saturday, and 4 on Sunday. We're only open during the week right now if we have a class or a spiritual gathering going on, because I do have a full-time job that I have to tend to. So I have a Facebook page, and you can go and find me on Facebook as the Amber Dragon. I also have an Instagram, which is, you know, hashtag the Amber Dragon. And every morning I try and put out just a motivational message, you know, connected to a photograph that I've taken, and just try and kind of set the tone for the day by doing that. If you have personal questions, or you'd like to come in for a reading, I do tarot readings. I'm also a Reiki master, and I do Reiki in combination with the energy of the crystals. So I do apply the stones directly to the body during the Reiki healing sessions. So you can get in touch with me personally by my email, which is oystermoon, oystermoon at msn.com.
Thank you very much. And before I put you in the quiet room, I just want to add that the old ways in Buddhism do blend quite well. In fact, Mahayana Buddhism is a combination of ancient Greek thought with Buddhism, and in the earliest depictions of Buddha's bodyguard, Vajrapani, is an exact duplicate of what people recognize as Hercules. Later on, he evolved into a more abstract type of entity, but in the earliest depictions, there he is with his lion skin and his club and so forth. And in ancient times, the Romans equated Hercules with Belus or Balarama, who is Krishna's brother. So these ways of thinking have been blending since at least 2,000 years ago.
It's really very fascinating the way really faith evolved simultaneously, you know, all across the world prior to us having any contact with one another, except for, you know, faith and spirit. And you know, the more you read the ancient texts, the more connections you find it. And I think that, you know, that really speaks volumes.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much, Linda. I'm honored that you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, we're going to go one more round, so I'm going to put you in the quiet room for now. And last, but certainly not least, we have Tina Chandler. Greetings, Tina.
Greetings, Hercules. And no, the scene is not there, but greetings from the wonderful Sunshine State of Florida.
I will convey your greetings to her as soon as she comes up. Now, you also, although you prefer the Olympian deities and now you're one of the lions of Olympus, you also are very interfaith in your approach to spirituality.
Yes, sir. I am a current student at this time with the Karelian nativist tradition. They are a traditional three-degree witchcraft program, but they're very... it could be called eclectic as well.
Yes, it
could. We're philosophers. We're the thinkers. Our beliefs are deity, and I've said this before on other podcasts with you, that deity is a diamond. It has many facets, many shapes, many surfaces, but it all is one. And it shouldn't matter who we call upon as deity. If we identify with the Olympians, that's what we identify with. We identify with the Egyptians, with the Celtic, with the Indian. It shouldn't matter. We're all together. We're all one faith. We're all one unity.
That is an awesome way of looking at things.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And how long have you been following this path?
For a few years. Before then, I was solitary, a solitary Wiccan, trying to kind of. I'm more of a knowledge person, so reading up on everything, studying up on everything, but I was finding that the studying was more or less overriding my belief system, so I had to take a step back and then kind of just start fresh.
And it seems that you've succeeded.
Yeah.
And you're also very athletic, too. You're a roller derby queen. So would you care to share that aspect of yourself?
Yes, I tried to share an aspect. I tried to share you when my first game, but unfortunately, I can't seem to get it over to you.
I am
with roller derby. I'm sorry?
I'm looking forward to seeing that video.
Yeah, if I can ever get there. Yes, I'm a voice of vigilante justice number 93, the SWAT cat with the Fort Myers Roller Derby Girls. I've been with the Derby Girls for over 4 years and finally got to play this year. And it's very exciting, channeling all sorts of different aspects of yourself into athletics. The athletic sport of roller derby, a lot of people think, oh, it's just a bunch of girls shoving each other around. Oh, it's like wrestling. No, it's not. No. It may have used to be like that, but not anymore. The sport has taken such a dramatic turn since the 1990s that it's coming back to its grassroots, genuine, empowering sport.
Awesome. How can folks get in contact with you?
My email address is uss71832@yahoo.com, or you can contact me on Facebook.
Very awesome. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much. I'm greatly honored that you're here and part of this dialogue.
I am so honored that you asked me. I just get thrills every time I hear your voice.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tina. I'm going to put you in the quiet room, then we'll do the second round of questions.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that was incredibly awesome. We got to meet everybody, and we got to learn a little bit about where they've stood and where they're standing. And we're going to end this with Michael and Diane Duncan leading this interfaith prayer for today. But I want to ask a very quick question of everyone before we do that. And the question is, we're all already open to interfaith, and we're all already open to dialoguing with people who hold different views. And we've all found our spirituality, we're comfortable with our spirituality, and we're not upset that other people don't share the same spirituality. So the quick question I'm going to ask, and we will revisit this in a couple of shows, is what would you like for us to do collectively in addition to discussing various topics? And I'm going to start with Terry Power because the show and the station started with Terry Power. Greetings, Terry.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
All right. So your question is, what would you like for this group to do collectively?
Yes, and this group has more members. It's just that tonight, these are the members we can get together.
So collectively, I think the best thing that we can do, short of organizing and trying to put together events, which I think we're probably a little ways away from.
Okay.
But in our genesis, I think that spreading love instead of fear is possibly the best thing that we can do for our communities, for our country, and for ourselves and our interfaith ministry. If we can approach everything and everyone, whatever their thought structure or their belief structure, if we can approach every individual with love rather than fear, then we can help elevate everyone's energy into love rather than sinking our frequency down into fear. And I think that one act showing love to every person every day will build our community wherever we are and show people who we are rather than telling people who we are.
That is incredibly awesome.
Thank you.
And it's something that we can all do, too. It doesn't basically approach people with love and treat them as you'd like to be treated. That certainly is something each one of us can do, regardless of our circumstances.
Right. I mean, the concept of namaste. Now, I don't use the word in everyday usage because it's a borrowed word in my world. But the concept of the divinity within me, the spark of the divine within me, recognizes and honors and loves the spark of the divine within you.
I'm going to put that, I'm putting together your suggestions, and I'm going to send it out in an email by tomorrow. And that certainly leads the list. Thank you very much, Terry.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, I'm putting you back in the quiet room for now.
All right.
Greetings, Chris.
Hello.
What do you think we can do collectively to take this journey that we're all undertaking further into the future?
I think that I think we should have a lot of interfaith dialogue with every religion that exists on the planet as much as possible, because we do share the world with you know, Christians, who are the biggest religion on the planet. We share the world with Muslims, which is the third biggest, I'm sorry, second biggest, I think. And we share the world with Jews, who are the third largest, and Hindus, which are the fourth largest, and it just goes on and on. And I think that we have to learn to live with each other if we're going to live in peace. And so I think that we just need to really expand the dialogue as much as possible.
I'm with you on that. We should understand where people are coming from, and we should attempt to find commonalities and work together instead of finding reasons to argue with each other and fight each other.
Absolutely.
So thank you. I will write that in our list, and it will circulate in an email. Thank you so very much.
Uh-huh.
And greetings again. How are you, sir? I think we'll have to return to Bronto. Greetings, Thomas.
Greetings.
What do you think that we should do to move forward? Now that we started this dialogue and we're going to continue this dialogue, how would you suggest we move forward from here?
Well, very good question. I think the biggest way is that we should hold, like, maybe like either like a seminar or some sort of like class, like how we would do, like we would do with the meetup, where we, if we would have for the meetup, we would have some sort of event where we have people that would be interested to come in to just to have a discussion. We should have that sort of thing, and with of course the power of the internet. That could be done by means of like a streaming site, perhaps, that we can have the proper discussion and also teach, and also help teach about the respect of others, and especially within also the belief as well. Because one thing I've seen in my own experience is seeing some Wiccans and pagans that think that that felt that, well, I'm of a higher degree, I'm better than you, or I don't really trust that person because I've had a bad experience. And help teach to overcome those hardships or those roadblocks that come across. Because I figure that if we can get across those roadblocks, we can help bridge the gaps and help build bridges between the beliefs and the interfaiths.
That is awesome. So you agree with Terry that we should plan some sort of event eventually, and that we take the technology that we have at hand and develop educational programs that promote respect and tolerance and communication.
Exactly, yes.
That is fantastic, and you are a technical wizard, at least compared to myself. So I'm going to pick your brains on helping to make that happen, because that is awesome.
I'll do what I can.
Thank you very much. And I'm putting you back in the fire. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. So what do you think our next step should be?
So I think we need to live authentically. And I think we need to be the role models for true faith. And I believe that the way to do that is really to strip away the taboos and strip away the fear that comes from separateness by being our own true authentic self and kind of leading with faith wherever we go. I think that that really teaches volumes to folks that, you know, if we are not fearful and intimidated, then we're going to be opening the doors for all faiths and all people to just come forward and feel free to live authentically.
So awesome. If we live authentically and we banish fear, we will help the world become a better place and have folks with different viewpoints stop being at each other's throats.
Agreed.
Thank you, Linda. I will add that to the list.
Thank you.
And Tina, where do you think we should go from here?
Well, everyone had great points to make regarding this question, especially Linda. Living authentically, another way I guess we could say that is we should walk our talk.
Okay.
And yes, walk our talk by numbly, I mean, we have so many problems around us right now. We also need to educate the children of these other faiths as well. I find that more acceptance and more authentic questions from children than I do adults. Adults try to hide intentions, either with words or by deeds. But children, they're out there. They are so pure and so open that while we are concentrating on this generation, especially after everything has gone on regarding the elections and everything, that we do not neglect those of the younger generation and the children. Because they're the ones that are going to be our futures, and they're the ones that are going to be taking up the reins when our time here is done.
So we should extend our educational efforts into the schools.
Yes, and I've been trying to do that with...
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I've been trying to do it with my son's elementary school. My youngest son has been having some problems, so I offered them to wear my pentacle for the day. And unfortunately, it was not allowed. And I said, well, how come this is not allowed, but yet other emblems of religion are? And they were very uncomfortable with that. And I said, okay, well, why do you feel that way? Can we just sit down for a few minutes and just talk about why do you feel that way? And it goes back to I think it was Chris that was saying about stereotypes. I mean, when we're thinking about things, unfortunately, a lot of us are taught stereotypes of religion. And that's such a hard thing to break, especially even now. I mean,
of course, it dehumanizes and it's
so
stereotypes.
So I think we need to break those stereotypes. We need to reinvent what and who people are. And if we can do that, either with adults or with parents or with children, I think this world would be in a much better place.
I think so, too. And those are all valid points, and I'll include them in this document that we're going to circulate around by email next until the next time we get together, which isn't that far away. It's in a couple of weeks, I believe. Thank you very much, Tina. We're going to try to get Bronto again and then go to Michael and Diane for the closing interfaith prayer. Thank you so very much.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Are you there, my friend?
Again.
Greetings.
Yes, unfortunately, I was on mute, and I was valiantly shouting into the phone to no avail.
I apologize. Nice to hear your shout. So what do you think we should do next? Where do you think we should go from here, my friend?
So having listened to everyone else, I think, and the order of ours that discussed this, is that we are at a place and an opportunity in the country where, like no time before, people are ready and willing to be motivated behind social activism. There's a lot of fear out there. It's easy to fear a group that you can point at and say, oh, these people. It's a lot harder to fear somebody fear an individual that you've met and you've talked to. You may not like those people, but this one's okay. And the more of this one that you meet, the fewer of those people exist.
That's true.
By helping normalize our interactions with people who are afraid of the other, that we can start conversations. It's very difficult to have a conversation with somebody who is just blindly fearful of a group of people. But when we have a meaningful, in-depth conversation with somebody, and then we say, oh, by the way, I'm not one of you, just because we've both been speaking truth and because I look like you and I appear the same as you do, I'm not one of you in terms of how you self-identify, but we are all one people, then you can start that conversation. And that is changing one heart at a time.
Very wise words, my friend, that reflect some of the things that other people have said as well. So I think we're starting to get focused here. It might take a little while to get everything stated in such a way that we can more effectively act on it, but thank you so very much.
My pleasure.
Okay, I'm going to go to Michael and Diane. I want to hear their views, and then we will close with a prayer. Greetings, Michael and Diane.
Oh, hi there, Hercules. Wow, what a wonderful venue. I'm so blessed to be a part of this, and thank you so much for the opportunity.
And thank you so much for being here. I'm greatly honored as well. What do you and Diane think our next step should be?
Well, I really loved what a couple of people before me said about relating to the children. We
that
are
was big Tina.
Tina. I know there's Linda, so that was Tina.
Yes.
We are very big proponents of world peace. We have a worldwide peace prayer that we do with our Urantia community. We've done about 5 of them now, but it started with our 11-year-old. There was a lot of terrorist activity in Europe and in Orlando and San Bernardino and such, and he had some questions about it. So we began to, every night before we put him to bed, we say a prayer for world peace. Well, so that is kind of our focus at this time. And what we know from the Urantia book and what we can do as a collective body here, the people on the broadcast and such, is that the Urantia book says that we are all individual minds within the cosmic mind, and that on an inner level we connect with mind. And what we can do, I think, is we can, in the realm of world peace, we could try to find a common goal. And in our quiet times, in our prayer times or in our meditation times or what have you, we connect on an inner level with that common goal, whether it's through prayer or it's an idea or putting something out into the universe or receiving something from the universe, that we can connect on this cosmic mind inner level to better our world and to be more open, to be compassionate, be respectful, and loving toward other people in the world community.
That is very awesome, and that too is something we can all do. And everybody's advice was very practical and doable. So we have something starting here. Was that the prayer, or would you like to add the prayer you invited us to tonight?
Yeah, I have a prayer.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, and like I said, we have our prayer, we have a worldwide peace prayer with our Urantia community. So there are about 100 or more people that are praying tonight with us, or, in our inner group, our quiet group. So the prayer that I would like to offer tonight, and like I said, our focus is world peace. It's a song that I wrote, and
awesome.
it's called World Peace is a Heavenly Peace. And I'd like to sing it for you, and please join in and listen. It goes, World peace is a heavenly peace, a peace that enriches our minds. World peace is a lasting peace, a peace that pervades our lives. World peace is alive right now, it exists in you and me. A still, small voice that whispers love in the deepest depths of our being. World peace is a shining reflection of of the beauty and grace of the divine, the perfect symmetry of male and female, joining in the human song. World peace is the great celebration of oneness in the truth of all, that all of life is connected in heaven as it is on earth. World peace is a heavenly peace, a peace that enriches our minds. World peace is a lasting peace, a peace that pervades our lives. Amen.
Wow. That was beautiful. Thank you so very much.
Thanks. And wow. people throughout our community pray in different ways, through thoughts, prayers, through ideas, through brainstorming, and songs. This particular time, I happen to offer a song this time.
Well, I'm looking forward to what you offer next time, because that was incredibly awesome and an unexpected delight. I think we'll take turns with the prayers. This way everybody can contribute. And I'm going to ask Terry Power and Chris Aldrich to be the next two people offering prayers, depending on their availability. Chris just wrote a book on prayers, and we are, in a sense, operating within Terry's greater vision. So I think it's very appropriate that he lead us in a prayer. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. I'm greatly honored that you're here and that we've started this dialogue. I'm going to put everybody in the quiet room. If you want to talk during the show, while I'm doing the closing music, we can all talk together. But thank you all so very much. I'm greatly honored that you're here. Okay, that was it, folks, for tonight. This is the beginning of something new. And I'm really excited by this new adventure. And I'm, again, greatly honored and greatly touched that we had so many people respond. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.